The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. The center can be reached for dispute resolution and many other halachic services at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
The pasuk tells us that as the world deteriorated, humanity went down the slippery slope towards the point of no return, where what was nigzar aleihem from the Ribbono Shel Olam was total destruction, because the world had corrupted itself so totally that it was past the point of redemption. And unfortunately, it's eerily reminiscent of the world we live in, where there's no sense of right and wrong. Morality is frowned upon. Basic decency is something to be ashamed of in the outside world. And of course, as Erlich Yidden, our standards are that much higher. But, of course, we're influenced by what goes on around us. And it's important to examine our concept of decency, morality, and more importantly, Kedusha's, our married life, because the Torah says, V'tishachesa oretz mifnei ho'elokim, Rashi says, Loshen erva ki hishchis kolbosa es darkoi. The moral decline, the corruption, the rot, the decay of the Dor HaMabul was primarily in the realm of Arayis. Of course, there was Gezel. Also, the Torah refers to Chomos, which means Gezel. Despite the fact that one could argue that the Chomos that's being referred to is also the concept of each person prying into somebody else's life and taking that which is his in the realm of privacy, could also be a description of a world of Ashchosa Binyone Arayis. But Chazal do put a finger on Gezel. What's interesting is, there's a Sefer that's called Sefer HaChaim. Sefer HaChaim is a Sefer that was written by Reb Chaim, the brother of the Maral. The Maral had brothers that were Anoshim Gedolim. One of them was Reb Chaim, was one of the Gedolei Rabbonim in Germany. And there was a while that he was locked up in the midst of a plague, very reminiscent of the situation that we've been in the last while, and it was hard for him to concentrate on in-depth writing. So he wrote a Sefer Musar, which is a classic, and there are a lot of interesting pieces over there. In one piece, he breaks down world history in terms of the Iker Yetzahara. He says what makes the world go round, what makes the trials and tribulations and problems and all the different ups and downs of world history is the fact that the Yetzirah is always pulling the strings to make people act in certain ways. He says, but the Yetzirah has changed form. He breaks world history into three parts. The first 2,000 years, what Chazal called in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Alpayim Shel Toyu, the world was created Toyu Voyu. Until the year 2000, the world didn't have an Avraham Avinu, Avos HaKadoshim, to give it redeeming value. The next 2,000 years are called Alpayim Shel Torah, from when Avraham Avinu started teaching Torah to the world. The last 2,000 years are already somewhat preparatory for Mashiach, Alpayim Shel Mashiach. Says that the first 2,000 years of world history, the main Yetzirah that drove the world was the Yetzirah of Arayis, and that was the Dor HaMabul. The next 2,000 years, the opposite of Torah is the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. We see how powerful, you see from Tanakh, how powerful the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah is. We, of course, don't have a Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. The last 2,000 years, he says, the main Yetzirah that drives humanity is the Yetzirah for money. He says, Rosh HaTevis, the first 2,000 years, Znus, Zayin, Avodah Zarah, Ayin, Mem is Momoin. Zayin, Ayin, and Mem is Rosh HaTevis Zam. Ad Yavar Zam. The Ribbono Shel Olam waits for humanity until the wrath, until the anger has passed, until the Yetzirah gets finished doing his thing, and ultimately the Yetzirah will be destroyed, and the world will be cleansed of all forms of corruption and impurity. We're unfortunately living in a world where that same slide into moral decay and total corruption is evident wherever we look around. And it's important to have our sensitivities sharpened and heightened in order to keep our morality in place, our sensitivities in place. And what I'd like to do, Be'ez Hashem, is examine for a few minutes somewhat from a halachic perspective, but it'll give us also a hashkafic insight into the difference between marriage as it exists by us and marriage as it exists in the Ummah Salam. Of course, when we're talking about marriage amongst Yidin, we're talking about a binyan adiyad, we're talking about neshamis, we're talking about something which is nitzchis, and that's not certainly not the perspective from the goyish standpoint, from the secular standpoint. But even halachically, marriage has a different connotation when we're talking outside the realm of halacha. Let's open up a Rambam in Perek Aleph, Mehilchas Yishus, Halacha Aleph, and he says like this. Koidim Matan Torah, before Matan Torah, we're talking over here about law-abiding citizens. Hoya Odom Pogei Yishu Bashuk, a man would meet a woman. Bashuk just means any place. Imrotza Huvihi Lisa Oisa, if they want to get married, that means that they're not in it together for, you know, just temporarily, but they decide to make a commitment to each other. Machnisa, which is a basic concept that the Ummah Sa'ilam understood, unfortunately, till 100 years ago. And that concept that a commitment of marriage is not really a commitment and it could be broken at any point is unfortunately the standard instead of the deviation in today's world. And like we said, of course, it has a negative influence on us, despite the fact that when we get married, Samech, Yisamach, B'Gan Eden, Yitzircha Mikedem, we get married for keeps, for real. And we get married with the idea that the bond of marriage is a bond between two human beings, Lo Netzach. And the Rambam says that before Matan Torah, by the Ummah Sa'ilam, that's the way it is today, mutual consent defines the marriage. Machnisa lebeisa boyola, they live together, beinole beinatzma, betila lisha, that's how they get married. Kiva shenitne teiru, nitzavu yisroel, shem yirtza ho'ish liso isha yikne oisa tchila. He has to make a kinyin bifne edim, chupa v'kiddushin, v'achachach tila lisha, shenema ki yikach ish isha ubo oleo. And the Magen Mishnah says that the yichud, the defining themselves as in a state of marriage itself, there's no kinyan that's done between the husband and the wife in halachis of ben noyach, of Ummah Sa'ilam. Mutual consent is what creates the marital bond. The understanding of this is not just that there's exes hakosuv, that a yid, that in halach you have to make a maisik kinyan. It goes deeper than that also. The Ran explains in Kedushin, in the Dorm Dav Choftes, that in actuality, like the Gemara tells us in Kedushin, the husband does the kinyan. Ki ikach ish isha, v'loy kisikach. The husband does the ma'isa kinyan. There's no participation from the wife in the kinyan. The kinyan has to be done by him with her consent. Where do we find that one party, normally if there's a transaction between two parties, both of them are present in the transaction. Both of them are part of the transaction. Where do we find that one does and one is just willing to let the other one do the kinyan? Only by kiddushin. The Ran explains that in actuality the woman is not being koina, is not being makna herself to the husband. What she's doing is she's mafkeres atzmo, and then he's kind to her. What does that mean? She's mafkeres. She, so to speak, lets herself go. She's mafke herself. She's just misratza that her husband should be kind to her. Which is a little bit of a strange depiction. Mafkeres atzma. I believe what the Ran is saying is like this. Let's examine for a minute the difference between the maisa kinyan, which is done by kedushin, a marital maisa kinyan, and the maisa kinyan lahavdil of buying a car or buying a house. When a person buys a house, there's nothing about this house that definitively is the bias of Reuven. Reuven buys a house. The house is the house of Reuven. It's owned by Reuven. The fact is Reuven was koina. Once he was koina, or if he's koina car, as soon as he gets in, turns the keys, he does the maisa kinyan. The car belongs to him. The car is his. Is there anything that defines the car existentially as the car shall Reuven? No. V'haraya, he could sell the car 5 minutes later. You could buy a house and you could sell the house 5 minutes later. So obviously there's nothing about the house that's defined as there's nothing about it that it's your car. It just happens to be you were kind of, you're the owner. If I was previously the owner and I let you be kind of it, I'm macking it to you, so now you become the owner. If you then decide to sell it back to me, so now I become the owner. Kiddushin, the definition of the kinyan kiddushin, is not just mutual consent, but the fact of the matter is that when a woman gets married, when a couple gets married, the woman becomes definitively Eishes Reuven. She is now, her identity is Eishes Reuven. It's not just she was maskim to allow herself to be Niknes Ayde Reuven. She is definitively Eishes Reuven. And Gerushin has to undo her identity. Marriage is an identity. The reason why, that's not true on the husband's end, is because a man can marry two wives, al pi halacha. So you can't define him as ish shel Rivka, ish shel Leah. That's not true. She, however, is Eishes Reuven. So what the Ram is telling us is that what she does is she allows herself to become Eishes Reuven. She allows herself to become an extension, ish toy kegufa. She allows herself to become an extension of Reuven. Basically, what this means to tell us is that Jewish marriage is existential. It's not just mutual agreement. It's not just mutual consent. It's existentially defining that couple as being one unit. Whereas, like we said, Kiddushin, by Umos HaOlam, there's a concept of two people living together by mutual consent. There's nothing to do. There's nothing existential. Now, if it's not existential, Fashteitza, that it could be broken apart at any point, in any way. If there's nothing existential about it, then two people, even though they say by the marriage vows, they say till death do us part, that's obviously not the reality that's recognized today in the Western world. The reason for that is because if I agree to be in a relationship with you, who says that's going to work for me in 2 years from now? But there's nothing definitive about the two of us being married to each other. Now, because like we said, marriage, the halachos of Yisrael, of Matan Torah, is definitive. When a couple, unfortunately, with divorce, you can't lose a definition totally. If somebody marries, if Reuven marries Rivka, Rivka, to a certain extent, is still Eishes Reuven, even after they get divorced. The Marit, in fact, explains in the fourth parak in Kiddushin that that's why she can't marry a kohen. There's something compromised in the quality of her relationship with somebody else, because to be midah mesuyemis, to a certain extent, she still is Eishes Reuven. A kohen gadol can't even marry an almana. An almana is less defined still as Eishes Reuven. But still, there is something there. Kroivim are osur. A person is not allowed to marry his wife's kohen even after she passes away. Only achos ishta, only the sister's wife, is not a full erva, so therefore it's that erva is mutter la'acha misas ishta. Other arayas are also a mother-in-law, a sister-in-law, etc., an aunt. All these arayas are still also even after misa or divorce between the two parties. Ben Noach doesn't work that way. Now, what's interesting is that, like we're saying, Gerushin has to create an existential change. By Ben Noach, it's not that way. The Yerushalmi says in the beginning of Kiddushin, Ein Gerushin leBen Noach. What does that mean? The Rambam says in Hilchos Malachim, Me'emis haitia eishes chaver kegrusha shalonu. When does a marriage end in the halachas of Ben Noach? Mishiyotziyeno mibeisei v'yishalchena latzmo. Either he wants her out, and he sends her away. Oy, mishetetzehi, mitachas v'shusiv etelechla. Could be done by mutual consent. The beauty and the kedusha of Jewish marriage is such that since it's not two people in a mutual relationship, but the existential nature, the definitive nature of marriage is such that a woman is an extension, she's kegufoy of her husband, so when he marries her, when he takes her, she becomes existentially Eishes Reuven. It's the only way to do that. The Torah created a framework for undoing that existential nature called being Eishes Reuven. The Torah created Gerushin. Ben Noach doesn't need that. Again, the relationship is only based on mutual consent. It's not existential. So therefore, when they decide to part ways, The Rambam says, "Ein lam gerushim b'ksav." They don't have a concept of giving a get. Ve'ein hadavet toli boy levad al kolz man sheroitza hu ohi lifresh zemizeh person. They could separate from each other. The lahavdil, the religious goyim, some of them have a concept that there is no divorce. The Rambam says by Ben Noach, since the marriage is created based on mutual consent, similar to a regular kinyan. So as soon as you decide to part ways, that's it. The relationship is over. And that reality is bottled as soon as you decide to be mevatlet. Now, the Ran in Sanhedrin, Dafnun Chesam and Beis, in the Halachas of Ben Noach, brings B'Shem Rabbeinu David. Rabbeinu David is an otherwise unknown Rishon that the Ran quotes in many places in Sanhedrin. We, as well, has the Chedushin of Rabbeinu David on Pesachim. There are a lot of Chedushin there. One of the Chedushin the Ran says in the Sugya of Ben Noach is this concept that since the Yerushalmi says, Ein Gerushin, what that means is there is no way to undo the marriage. There's no way to undo the marriage. It's a matter of the stock. The Rambam clearly says not that way. Since the relationship is created by mutual consent, so it can be undone by mutual consent. The Ran Grada argues on Rabbeinu David. He says no. He says like the Rambam. Makes sense. The starting point for Rabbeinu David that there is no gerushin is also that marriage is not the same thing. But once there's a relationship of mutual consent, so it's done. There is no vehicle called gerushin because there's no vehicle called ishus, called kedushin. Goes together. What's interesting is that when you look at the Medrash in Bereshis Rabbah, it seems to be that there's two tzadim exactly what happens. How in halachas of a ben noyach divorce is created, or a dissolution of marriage, better put, there's no divorce. There's no chalois gerushin. The Medrash says, Rav Chanan v'shem Rav Yochanan Amar, she'en lehem gerushin. And then the Medrash continues, Oishe shneem megarshin zezeh. Sounds like he's saying tutzadim. Ein lehem gerushin. Either they can't get divorced, or, like there's a possibility, it's a suffix, each one is megarish the other. That's what it would sound like. Sounds like this machloikis between the Rambam and Rabbeinu David are really tutzadim, a suffix in Yerushalmi, v'shem Rabbi Yochanan. The interesting is, you take a look at the Mefarshim over there, they had a different gersa in the Yerushalmi. Not Ein Gershon Leben Noach, this is the Yerushalmi Namish in the beginning of Kiddushin. The gersa in the Yerushalmi is Oyshe Ein Lem Gershon, Oyshe Shneem Megarshon. And what it sounds like is, and this is the way the Mefarshim explained over there, you have to take a look at the Pnei Moshe and the Korban Eidah over there in the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Kiddushin. The way the Mefarsh is that the suffix is, or the tutzadim is, oishe ein lahem gerushin by force. That means, the way the Rambam says, each side could force the other one out. He wants out, he could walk out, he could send her out, he could walk out, she could walk out on him. Oishe ein lahem gerushin, except by mutual consent. Oishe shnehem megarshin, or both of them could decide to dissolve the marriage. That means, being that the marriage is only a product of mutual consent, so then it could be dissolved, but here's the suffix. It could be dissolved by mutual consent, or it could be dissolved by each side. And that, you could hear both sides. Since it's by mutual consent, so maybe you need the consent of both parties to dissolve, the same way the religion was created by both of them, maybe not. Since it's created by mutual consent, the same way if one wanted and one didn't want, in the first place, the marriage is not there. So also, if one wants out, so that's it. The mutual consent is not there anymore. That seems to be the tzadim. It's an interesting, another shell, like we said, there's two ways to dissolve a marriage. One way to dissolve a marriage is divorce. The other way to dissolve a marriage is Misa Sabal. So the Pnei Yeshua says in Kedushin Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara needs a pasuk to be matir and isha l'shuk if her husband dies. Of course, if her husband dies, it does not dissolve that she is no longer Eshes Reuven. She's not allowed to marry his Kroivim. Or Yevama, she's still in the marriage insofar as the state of Yibum to her brother-in-law is concerned. She's still considered Eishes Reuven, Lamashal, if she has children. She's still considered, if Reuven was a Kohen, she could still eat Truma based on her relationship with Reuven, so on. There are many illustrations of this idea. But the Torah has to bring a pasuk for Mises about, because we wouldn't know it when Asvar. Maybe once she's married to him forever. Maybe she's stuck. She's an Eishes Ish. No, the Torah says that now he died, that's Matir and Isha L'shuch. Says the Pnei Yeshua, Ben Noach doesn't have a pasuk. So the same way there's no Gershon, there's no Mises Abal, there's no Matir and Mises Abal. The way we explained, the marriage of Goyim is not a chalois kiddush, it's not a chalois ishus in the halachic sense, it's a relationship created by mutual consent. Since it's a relationship created by mutual consent, there's certainly no mutual consent when he passes away. They're certainly not consenting to live together. So l'chor, you don't need a pasuk. You only need a pasuk by chalois ishus, which is a halacha unique to Kedushas Yisrael. This point is made by the Menachas Chinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Hey, arguing with the Pnei Yeshua. Hayotzim Advarim, what we have over here is a unique perspective into the Kedusha of a Jewish marriage. It's not two people that are just having a relationship based on mutual consent, but there's something existentially that ties two people together. The concept that we're so fond when one of us is in Shidduchim of Bashert, of two people that are defined as being belonging to the same unit, building the same family and building the same unit of a bias of Kedusha that will last forever. That concept is uniquely Jewish. And Mamela, it's understandable that by the Umas HaOlam, where the concept of personal decency has deteriorated, of course, then mutual consent is very up in the air. And it can be defined with very little level of commitment, and it can be made and broken and made, and there's nothing violating about it. But of course, that's a descent into a place of no morality. We understand also that the concept of znus in the perspective of mutual consent is not a violation of Kedusha. But what it is, it's a violation of an agreement with somebody. It's a violation of personal commitment to somebody else. So the Torah can also define chomos in the same way. I would add, that's why in Torah there's a halacha that if a isha rachmana l'tzlan is mezana, she's asur labayla, because the violation of the kedusha of the marriage is irrevocable. You can't replace that. If it's a matter of mutual consent, okay, that trust, that consent, it's wrong to break trust, it's wrong to break consent, but we could then mend the fence, we could repair a breach in the trust and the commitment in our relationship. It's a whole different mitzvah. What this should give us insight, the Mika Amchi Yisrael, the Kedusha, that's part and parcel of our lives, of our chinuch, of our homes, of our marriages, and we should carry that pride with us in a way, the Yisrael Asher B'cho Espar, that even when the world is deteriorating around us, where every 10, 15 years, the world is unrecognizable from what went 15 years of what was considered decent behavior today, is considered, what was considered shocking today, is not shocking at all. What was considered scandalous is not scandalous today. And we're trying with our pride in our Kedushas Yisrael to hold on to our standards. The Rebbein Shalom should give us a Siyat Tishmaya to be able to hold on to that Kedusha and the pride in the Kedusha that we carry with us, and to give that over to future generations.
The Beis Chabad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.